Chanukah is a Yantav Derabbanan that was instituted during the period of the Second Beis Hamikdash. And the story is related in a book that's called Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus was written during the period of the Second Beis Hamikdash, and it was written down at the time that it was still not permitted to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh. So Rashi writes in his commentary on the Gemara that the reason why it's referred to as Megillas Tainus, because whereas all the Mishnais were still being transmitted orally, this Megillas Tainus was written down. Megillas Tainus begins with the month of Nisan, goes through the whole Jewish calendar, Nisan, Yom Kippur, and so on, and lists off every day on which there was a holiday. The common denominator of all the holidays of Megillas Tainus is, according to the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that all of these holidays have to do with rebuilding of the Second Beis Hamikdash, improving of the structure of the Second Beis Hamikdash, protecting it from destruction. Every time the Hashmonaim were victorious in battle, they made another Yontif, not because whenever the army is victorious they make a Yontif, but rather because there was a Beis Hamikdash, and when the army was victorious in battle, they preserved the Beis Hamikdash from destruction. So Megillas Tainus relates the whole story. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos and Perek Lamed Adlikin, the Mishnahs talk about Hadlokas Neiris Shabbos, and the Gemara there talks about Hadlokas Neiris Chanukah. The Gemara quotes the passage from the Megillas Tainus where the whole story is related. So the story is told that when the Yevanim, the question whether it refers to the non-Jewish Yevanim or the Jewish Misyavnim, but the story is related when Yevanim entered the Beis Hamikdash, Timu Kol Hashmonim, the Metame, all of the oil, there was special oil in the Beis Hamikdash to be used for Hadlokas HaMenorah. And you have to use Dafke Shemen Tohor. You're not Yotze the Mitzvah if you use Shemen Tomei. So the Yevanim were metami all of the oil, and there was only one little container, only had enough oil to burn for one day, and a miracle occurred, and the oil burned for 8 days. So the Rambam adds on a line to the story in the Gemara, that the traveling time that it took from Beis HaMikdosh to the location where they manufactured the oil, the Shemen Tohor, was a 4 day traveling time. And today, one day you can go from one end of the world to the other. But at that time you needed 4 days to travel from Yerushalayim to the location where they used to produce the Shemen Tohar. So it took 4 days to go there, 4 days to come back. But that's why it was necessary to have a miracle that the oil should burn for 8 days. The Rambam understood it anymore. God would not have made a miracle unnecessarily. If they could have succeeded in getting Shemen Tohar in 3 days, then this would only occur for 3 days. The fact that the oil burned miraculously for 8 days is because it was necessary. It took 8 days to get Shemen Tohar. That's an assumption that the Gemara makes in a different place. The Gemara makes such a statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not make a nes unnecessarily. He's going to change the Chukei HaTeva only if it's really needed. So the Pnei Yeshua is bothered with a famous kasha. We have a din that whenever there's a korban that has to be brought today, a korban shezmano kavua, you permit, if need be, you're permitted to bring the korban even if the kohen who's doing the hakrovas hakorban is tamei, and even if the shemen is tamei. So hadlokas haMenorah has a status like a korban, and you have to be madlik the menorah every evening in the Beis HaMikdosh. And if they don't have any Shemen Tohar, so the din says you're permitted to light with Shemen Tomei. So why did the Rabbanu Shel Olam find it necessary to make a miracle that the Shemen Tohar should burn for 8 days? They could have burned that oil for the first day, and then the next day, the next 7 days, they would use Shemen Tomei. There was no need for the miracle. The din is a Tumas Muta Betzibah. That's called Tumah Hutra Betzibah. Since Hadlaka Samanera is a like a carbon, Shizmana Kavua has to be done every single day of the year, every evening in the year. So the din is at his mutter to bring it to Tumah. So the Pnei Yeshua gives his answer, and others give a different answer. Pnei Yeshua gives his answer. It's certainly mutter. Strictly speaking, if you don't have Shemen Tohar, you can use Shemen Tomei, because it's a korban shezmano kavua. But it's certainly more mehudadik to be madlik the menorah with Shemen Tohar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the nes in order that Pnei Yisrael should be able to fulfill the mitzvah, the hidura. So then the Pnei Yeshua adds on, And that's perhaps the reason why we find when the Chachamim instituted the mitzvah of Hadlaka Samanura, Zecha Lenes, Chanukah, so they introduced with Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin. You don't find it any other place in Halacha that when the Tanoim, when the Chachamim introduced a mitzvah, Midirabbanon, that they built in a clause of Mahadrin, Mahadrin and Mahadrin. Why daft over here? So the Pnei Yeshua suggests perhaps because the whole need for the miracle was only because of the Mahadrin, in order that Bnei Yisrael should be able to fulfill a mitzvah, the Hidura, because strictly speaking, there wasn't any need for the Nes. The Halacha says if you don't have Shem and Tor, you're permitted to be Madlik B'Shem and Tomei, you're Yotze the mitzvah B'Shem and Tomei. This is the famous comment that the Pnei Yeshua makes. Others give a different answer that has to be understood. Others suggest that the Chashmonaim had to make a new menorah. The Gemara says they had to make a new Mizbeach and they had to make a new menorah. Because the old Mizbeach and the old menorah were used for Avodah Zarah purposes. So there were different rooms in the Beis HaMikdash which had different functions. So one of the rooms in the Beis HaMikdash was a museum, so to speak, for the old Mizbeach. Sheshiktzum Anshe Yavon, the stones of the old Mizbeach were used for Avodah Zarah. That's called Sheketz in Tanakh. Avodah Zarah sometimes referred to as Shikutzehem. So Shiktzum means that the old Mizbeach, the regular Mizbeach, and the Bai Sheni was used for Avodah Zarah purposes, either by the non-Jewish Yavonim or by Jewish Misyavnim. That's the question, what really posed the problem here? It's a big debate in the commentaries on the Gemara. So because it was used for Avodah Zarah purposes, they weren't permitted to continue using the old Mizbeach and to make a new Mizbeach and how to make a new menorah. So the din says when you make a new menorah, you have to be mechanechid by the hadlokah. Before you mechanechid with the first hadlokah, it doesn't yet have the full status of a menorah. So when do you have to do the Chanukah Samenorah? There is no specific time. Once you'll be mechanechid, you have to be mechanechid at night. You have to aim mechanech on the menorah, ela b'hadlok ebein harbay. You have to be mechanech the menorah with the tchilas hadlok in the beginning of the evening. Which evening? Whenever you're ready, you do it. So that's called ein zmano kavua. The first hadlok that you do on the menorah is for the purpose of being mechanech the menorah, and that there is no zman kavua for that. Once you have a menorah that already was nischancha, you already did the first hadlok, then it's a chiyuv korban shezman kavua. You're obligated to light the menorah every single night. So once you already have a menorah sheneschancha, then you're obligated to light the menorah every night. That's a korban shezman kavua. So then the halacha says you can bring in the tumah. But the first night had to use davka shemen tohar. So what is the answer over here? There was enough oil for the first night. There was enough oil for the first night. So the first hadlaka was done with tahara. It still wasn't necessary to have Shemen Torah for the remaining seven nights. Because the other seven nights were ready after the first night's hadlaka, did the Chanukah Samadara. So that's it's a little unclear what the others answered. This is a popular notion, popular answer that many poskim give, that when you make a new menorah, you mechanech the new menorah, so you have to be mechanech it with tahara. So that's why it was necessary for the Chashmonaim to use Shem and Tahor. The Mishneh in Maseches Edius quotes an old tradition that was debated generation after generation, went back and forth. And the Mishneh says that Mashke Bei Madbachaya, the Mashkim, and the Beis HaMikdash near the Mizbeach, Atohor. What does that mean, Mashkim and the Beis HaMikdash Atohor? So the Gemara in the end of the first Perek in Pesachim explains that we have a pasuk in the middle of Chumash Vayikra that says, "V'chol mashka sheishosa v'chol kli," any beverage that's royal ishtiyas adam, if it's only royal machal be'emet, people would never drink it, then it's not mekabel tuma. "V'chol mashka marona mekabel tuma," if the royal achilas adam. But if it's a mashka sheishosa v'chol kli, it's a mashka that's a royal achilas adam, the pasuk says, "Yitma." How do you translate Yitma? So the Gemara has three interpretations. A major machloek is Satanai. So one Tana is of the opinion, Yitma, that you can use Zion Mashkim to be Machsha Oichlim Lekabal Tumah. Apples and oranges and meat and fish and all food is only Mekabal Tumah if it was rinsed off once with one of the Zion Mashkim. The seven Mashkim are known by the Rosh HaTevis Yad Shachadam, Yud Dalet. Yad Shochadam is the Rosh HaTevis of the seven mashkim, Yayin and Dvash and Shemen and so on. is the Rashi Tevis of the seven mashkim that are machsha oichlum lekabel tuma. Pesukim in Chumash. V'chiyuta mayim al zera. Sheyizareya, if you rinse off the food with one of the zayim mashkim, then it's huchsha lekabel tuma, it can be mekabel tuma. So one opinion in the Taraim is when the pasuk says v'chol mashke sheyishase v'chol kli yitmo, that mashke is yitmo, what does it mean? It doesn't mean it's mekabel tuma. Mashke ma not mekabel tuma min haTorah. It's only mekabel tuma min haRabbanan. Yitma means it's machshe oichlum mekabel tuma. The second opinion of Tanoim is no. Yitma means that the mashke is mekabel tuma. Mashkim can be mekabel tuma min haTorah. That's a pasuk. But the ability, if mashke was mekabel tuma, it can transmit the tuma. If an oichel touches the mashke, the oichel becomes tuma. That's only min haRabbanan. The third opinion in Tanoim is no, that the word yitma not only means it itself, the mashkim, whether shavoy lachil asadam, or mekabel tuma min haTorah, it can even be metami acherim also, if the mashkim will touch an oichel, so the oichel will be metami acherim. Yitma means letami acher, can even be metami oichlim acher. So the Gemara says, in the Beis HaMikdash, if karbonos become pasul, so then you're going to lose out. It's going to be a hefset of kachin. So whatever is only a tumah derabbanan, they lift it in the Beis HaMikdash. They said, you don't introduce chumris in the Beis HaMikdash. Sometimes they introduce bigger chumris on things that they are mekabel tumah. Sometimes they didn't introduce. So the Mishnah has in 80 is this old psak, mashke beimat b'chayi, the mashkim in the Beis HaMikdash, near the Mizbeach, dochon, atohar. The Mishnah relates it in Aramaic. Apparently that was the spoken language. It's Bam Bayesheni for quite a period of time in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. Mashkim in the Beit Mad Bachai, in the Beis HaMikdash, Adochan HaTohar. So the Gemara says, to what extent is it Tohar? So the Gemara says, it depends. It's not Tohar if it's Tomim and HaTohar, you're not mitairing. If you have a Chumre that's only the Rabbanon, so they suspended the Chumre in the Beis HaMikdash. Hey Mom and Behem Omru. You don't have to be machmen in the Beis HaMikdash to passel up unnecessarily karbonos. So according to the first opinion, he said there are three opinions in the Tanaim how to read the pasuk. Chol mashke yishishas b'chol kli yitma. According to the first view, that mashke yishishas b'chol kli yitma means that mashke ma'machshe oichlin l'kabel tumah, but they themselves are not mekabel tumah at all. The ability of mashke to be mekabel tumah is only midirabbana. So then in the Beis HaMikdash, they never introduced the Chumas HaMashkim HaRat Mekabel Tumah at all. According to the second opinion, the Mashkim are Mekabel Tumah Min HaTorah, but Letami Acherim is only Midi Rabbanan. So then in the Beis HaMikdash, Mashkim Bein Mat Bachai Docha means Docha Min Letami Acherim. The Chumra Di Rabbanan they never introduced. So Achreinim HaBavid with Akasha, according to those who are of the opinion that Tumas Mashkim itself is only Midi Rabbanan, it's not Mekabel Tumah Min haTorah. So the whole story of Chanukah doesn't make any sense. God made a miracle because the Shemen was Tomeh. The Shemen is not Tomeh. Shemen is a Mashke. And the Mashke in the Beis HaMikdash is not Mekabel Tumah at all. So why did the Ribbono Shel Olam make such a miracle? This is a kasha that the Shoel HaMeisher asked. The Shoel HaMeisher was a rabbi in Lemberg in the 1850s. So he gives a very interesting answer. He says that this was debated generation after generation, what the din is, whether the mashkim and the Beis HaMikdash are mekabel tuma or not. So at that period of time, when the Chashmonaim threw out the Misyavdim and the Yevonim from the Beis HaMikdash, and they made a new Mizbech, and they made a new Menorah, so they were of the opinion that mashkim are mekabel tuma, Shemen is mekabel tuma. So since that was their opinion, so the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made a miracle, lefi shitasam. If the story of Chanukah would have occurred in a later generation, 100 years later, when the Psak HaMekubal was the Mashkim and the Beis HaMikdash are not Mekabel Tumah at all, then there would be no need for the miracle. But because during the generation of the Chashmonaim, the Psak HaMekubal was, you have a lot of times like that. In one generation, the Psak is one way, and a generation or two later, the Chachamim reversed the Psak. You have to always follow the consensus of opinion. So that's how the Shoel HaMeisher says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the miracle to occur out of respect for the Chachamim in that generation, because when you have a machlokes regarding a certain din, so we say, Elu Yelu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Both opinions have to a certain extent validity, You have to figure out the psak halacha, which opinion is accepted. So during the generation of the Chashmonaim, the accepted view was that Mashkin Shemen is Mekabel Tumah. So Lefishi Tasma Kadosh Baruch respected their opinion and made a miracle. If the story would have occurred 100 years later, there would have been no need for the miracle. So the Gemara has a long discussion in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud Ches regarding all of these Yamim Tovim in Megillas Tainis. Every other week there was another Yontif that was established by the Rabbanim, and it was also the Tainis. When you have a Yontif, the Rabbanim, you're not allowed to fast like a Yontif Deraisa. You're not allowed to fast. So that's why it's called Megillas Tainis. It's a Megillah Biksav at the time that the rest of Torah Shema Peh was still being transmitted orally. This Megillah was written down, and it lists off all of the Yamim Tovim that were introduced by the Rabbanim during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash that all had to do with the Beis HaMikdash, either improving the Hakrabas HaKarbanas or improving the institution of Kohen Gadol or improving the institution of the Sanhedrin, which is a function of the Beis HaMikdash. The din requires Sanhedrin has to meet in the Beis HaMikdash or protecting the Beis HaMikdash from destruction. And the Gemara in Rashan explains all the Yamim Tovim, the common denominator of all the Yamim Tovim and Gilas Tainis, they all have something to do with the second Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the year 70. So the question is, does it still make sense to celebrate these Yamim Tovim and Gilas Tainis when there's no longer any Beis HaMikdash? What are you celebrating about? There's Mancha Beis HaMikdash Kaim, you should celebrate over the fact that you have a Beis HaMikdash. After the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, you should observe Avelus, a mourning period, over the fact that you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Does it still make sense that we should still observe the Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainis after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara has a big machlokes hatanoim, starting from the year 70 into the days of the Amoraim. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died around the year 220. So into the days of the Amoraim, we still had this dispute. There's 150 years after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, we finally came to the conclusion that all of the Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainis are batlu after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't make any sense any longer to celebrate. What are you celebrating? There's no Beis HaMikdash, with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. Purim says in the Megillas Esther, Yimei Purim Heila Le'yosem Mitoch HaYehudim B'zifan Le'yosem Mizak, says the Jews will always celebrate Purim. That says the Megillas Esther. And Chanukah, the Gemara says, is also an exception to the rule. So the Gemara discusses, why should that be so? Why should Chanukah be an exception to the rule? Purim is also a question, why is it an exception to the rule? So the Gemara seems to explain as follows. The story of Chanukah is alluded to in the Tanakh. When the Jewish people returned from Golus Bavel after 70 years of exile, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara points out based on Pesukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael. They all had an opportunity to return to Eretz Yisrael, and the overwhelming majority, millions of Jews, remained behind in Bavel. A small handful of Jews, 45,000 Jews, the Pesukim say, returned to Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset with the Jewish people, and he told them he's not going to send any more Nevi'im, not going to send them any more prophets. The Nevi'im are sent ben Hashamayim to deliver Tochacha to Bnei Yisrael, to straighten us out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at Bnei Yisrael, said he's not going to send any more prophets. However, the Gemara says, Gimel Nevi'im Olei Moimi Bavel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Jews to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and the Halacha requires you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash without authorization of a Navi. The Tanoim have a comment on the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. The Sheikh Nusidushu Uvas HaShama, we should all build the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So the Tanaim and the Sifrei Darshan, Tidrushu Drosh Alpi Navi, you have to have authorization of a Navi to have the right to build the Beis HaMikdash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a Beis HaMikdash. He had to send Chagas Chai Malachi, the last three Nevi'im, and each one of them gave a different Nevuah that was relevant for that was significant for the purpose of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. So the Navi Chagai mentions all three, Chagas Chai Malachi, all three mentioned that there were old timers, 80 years old, who remembered the first Beis HaMikdash. And then when they finished building the second Beis HaMikdash, they brought the Korbanos. So the younger people who had never seen a Beis HaMikdash were dancing and singing and cheering and clapping. They were very excited. There's a Beis HaMikdash. And the old timers were crying because they said, this is Ka'ayim Be'enem. This is nothing. This is a fake. It's an imitation Beis HaMikdash. It's not a real Beis HaMikdash. How does the second Beis HaMikdash compare to the first Beis HaMikdash? So the, all the three Nevi'im, Chagas HaMalach, all three relate to this phenomenon. And the Psukim even say that there were so many old timers, 80 years old and so on, that the crying, the weeping, the sobbing, that the noise that they were making from crying drowned out the rejoicing and the singing of the younger people who were celebrating over the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So all of the three prophets, Chagas HaMalachi, HaMechazek B'nei Yisrael, they say, Chazak Zerubbabel, B'chazak Am Haaretz, it's good, the Rebbeinu Shalom wants a Beis HaMikdash. And he says, Godli Yekvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchram Min HaRishon, the second Beis HaMikdash will outshine the greatness of the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Navi Chagai promises that a tremendous miracle will occur during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, which will attract many non-Jews to visit Yerushalayim and to see this holy Beis HaMikdash. And the purpose of the miracle is to demonstrate that there is a Hashras HaShchina. It wasn't like in the days of the Mishkan that there was a Gilui Shchina. It wasn't like in the days of Shlomo HaMelech when they first built the Bais Rishon, there was a Gilui Shchina. There was always some divine heavenly light in the Beis HaMikdash that was an indication of the fact that there was Hashras HaShchina. The Bais Sheni, there was no Gilui Shchina. But the Navi Chagai says, there is a Shechina here, you should believe me, and I will cause a miracle to occur during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash to demonstrate that the Shechina is present the whole time. So Rashi, in his commentary on Treyosar and the Pasuk in Chagai, writes that this is an allusion to the miracle of Chanukah, to the Nes Chanukah. The purpose of the Nes Chanukah was to demonstrate that there's a tremendous Hashras HaShechina. But then the Navi says, Godli Yekvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchmen HaRishon, the glory of this second Beis HaMikdash will outshine that of the first Beis HaMikdash. And what way did the second Beis HaMikdash never outshine? What way was it greater than the first Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Basra has two suggestions. Both of them don't really satisfy the Pasuk. One opinion is that the second Beis HaMikdash lasted longer than the first Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash lasted 410 years. The second Beis HaMikdash lasted longer. The other opinion is second Beis HaMikdash was taller, which is true, was taller than the first Beis. So that's called outshining the glory of the first Beis HaMikdash. Second Beis HaMikdash was full of machlokes from the beginning to the end. And there never was such a gilui shechina like in first Beis. It didn't outshine at all. So how do you read that pasuk, Godli Yekvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchra Min HaRishon? Furthermore, why does the Navi refer to the second Beis HaMikdash as HaAcharon? It wasn't the final Beis HaMikdash. We believe there will be a third Beis HaMikdash. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we should see the Beis HaAcharon. The second Beis HaMikdash is not the Beis HaAcharon. So the Tosfos Yontif, in his commentary on Mishnayos, writes that one of the Maskilim asked him this question, why do we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? The Navi told us the second Beis HaMikdash is the last one. Abayis HaZeh HaAchron. So the Tosfos Yontif says that in Biblical Hebrew, the word Rishon and Achron don't always mean, like in modern Hebrew, it doesn't always mean first and last. Sometimes the word Rishon means prior, and Achron means latter. Like you have Ach Be'yam Rishon Tashbis HaSarim Batech. You have to burn the Chometz on Erev Pesach. You don't burn the Chometz on the first day Pesach, but it says Ach Be'yam Rishon Tashbis. Gemara says Yom Rishon doesn't mean first day Pesach. Rishon doesn't mean first, it means prior to Pesach. And there at Pesach, you have to destroy the Chometz. So to over here, in Parshas Vayishlach, in this week's Seder, it says, when Yankov was approaching Esav, so first he brought the Bnei HaShvachos first, then it says, Leah v'yoladeha achareinim, v'srachal v'yoladeha achareinim. What do you mean, Leah v'yoladeha achareinim? It wasn't achareinim. They were after the Bnei HaShvachos. It says, Rachel v'yoladeha achareinim. Rachel was last. So Leah was not the last one. So you see from today's Sedra that the word Achron doesn't always mean last, it means latter. Then it does, he quotes another pasuk from Makas Dam. says Moshe Rabbeinu was given two simonim, two miracles, to demonstrate to Paro that his nevuah is authentic. One miracle was that the stick that he used to use was going to turn into a snake. Then it's going to turn back into a snake. Then he's going to put his hand is healthy, going to put his hand inside his chest, going to take it out, turns into tzaras. Then he puts it back in, turns back into normal, healthy hand. So it says, V'loy amino l'kol ho'os ha'rishon, v'amino l'kol ho'os ha'acharon. V'loy amino l'kol ho'os ha'acharon. Then you should take the water in Mitzrayim and convert it into blood. So, but it already says, V'loy amino l'kol ho'os ha'rishon, amino l'kol ho'os ha'acharon. Acharon, the last. And then there's a third os. So either the word Achron doesn't always mean last, it means latter. So to over here, that's what the Tosfos Yontif says. That when it says, God liyeh kvod habayis hazeh ha'achron, Achron does mean the last Beis HaMikdash, it means the latter Beis HaMikdash. The second Beis HaMikdash will be a third Beis HaMikdash after the second Beis HaMikdash. The Zohar, however, speaks about the same topic. The Zohar understands that Achron is a reference, is an allusion to the third Beis HaMikdash. And when the Novi said, God liyeh kvod habayis Hazeh ha'achron means this second hyphen third Beis HaMikdash, because the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be a hemshech, a continuation of the second one. The second Beis HaMikdash was not a hemshech of the first one. Second Beis HaMikdash, they had to start anew, everything from scratch, everything all over again, because when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it says in Tehillim, in Al Naris Babel, it says, Oru Oru Ad HaYisaydbo, everything was utterly destroyed. And the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash was Mechadosh, all from scratch. The third Beis HaMikdash, there are things left over, the Kaisel HaMarav, there are other things left over from the second Beis HaMikdash. So we consider the third Beis HaMikdash will be a Hemshech of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Zohar comments, when the Navi promised Bnei Yisrael, Kor li yekvod habayis hazeh, the people, the old timers were crying. How does this compare to the first Beis HaMikdash? This is Ka'ayin DNA. This is nothing, it's an imitation Beis HaMikdash. So the Navi said, Chazak Zerubbabel, Chazak Amoret, this is what God's wish. Erzabov, Yikovda, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is my desire, I want to have a Beis HaMikdash. And the Rabban Shalom says, I will cause a miracle to occur during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, namely in Nes Chanukah, which will demonstrate that there's a tremendous Hashras HaShchina hidden in the Bais She'ni, which, so what does it help if it's hidden? Which will become apparent when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built. Then it will be tremendous Gilui Shechina. What does the third Beis HaMikdash have to do with the second? We're building the second. So the Navi told them, because God liyeh kvod habayis hazeh ha'acharon, the third is a hemshech of the second, unlike the second Beis HaMikdash was not a hemshech of the first Beis HaMikdash. So the observance of Chanukah for all those years, from the days of the Chashmonaim, a little over 200 years to the end of the period of Bais She'ni. So the observance of Chanukah was because the Chashmonaim protected the Beis HaMikdash from destruction, and they made a new Mizbech, and they made a new menorah, and they threw out all the Avodah Zarah, and they cleaned it up, and they brought Karbonos LaShamayim. So they fixed up the Beis HaMikdash. After the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, all the Yamim Tovim, all the other Yamim Tovim were battled, with the exception of Chanukah, because Chanukah is supposed to be the siman of Lasi Lava, that there'll be a third Beis HaMikdash. So after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we still continue to observe Chanukah al Shem Ha'asid. It's a holiday we're celebrating in anticipation of the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash, because that's what the Navi told them in advance. Navi Chaga said in advance, a tremendous miracle will occur during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash to demonstrate that there is a hidden Ashuas Hashchina. It's not a Gila Shchina, it'll be a hidden Shchina, and it'll become obvious and apparent in a tremendous way, greater than in the days of the Mishkan, become obvious when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, which will be a Hemshech of the second Beis HaMikdash. So that's why Chanukah is one of the exceptions, that's why Chanukah is an exception to the rule, that even though all the other Yamim Tovim, Megillas Tainus were Batlu, Chanukah is still observed. How exactly does one observe Chanukah? So the Tanoim instituted all of these Yamim Tovim, called the Tikkun Rabbanan, came the Raisa Tikkun. They patterned it after the Dinim Deraisa. Whenever you have a Yontif Deraisa, there's a Chiyav Simcha. So Chiyav Simcha implies that there's an Issa Hesped V'Tainis, you leave that Tachnon. And Chiyav Simcha usually has a Kumvi Asay, that you have to have Basa V'Yayin. And the overwhelming majority of the Yamim Tovim on Megillah Steinis, there are 40 Samad Yamim Tovim on Megillah Steinis. Every other week there's another Yom Tov, goes for a few days. So the one and only Yom Tov that has a Chiyav Suda is Purim. All the other 40 Yamim Tovim do not have a Chiyav Suda. Manish Tana, how come? Why is Purim the exception to the rule? In Shulchan Aruch they present it as if it's a question of Hanukkah versus Purim. How come on Hanukkah there's no Chiyav Suda and on Purim there is a Chiyav Suda? It's not just the truth in that, it's a bigger question. It's not just Hanukkah versus Purim. It's Purim versus all the other Yom Tov and Megillah Steinis. The others do not have a Chiyav Suda. The only Yom Tov that has a Chiyav Suda is Purim. So the Gaonim explain why. The Gaonim explain based on the Gemara that Purim is the Yotze Min HaKlal. That because Purim, there was a new Kabbalah Satorah. The Pasuk says, Kima B'Kibla Yehudim Aleim Al Zaram. And the Gemara has a tradition, Kima B'Kiblu is an allusion to Kabbalah Satorah. So just like on Shavuos, as Yom Shenitlan B'Torah, there's a special mitzvah to have an elaborate Suda. All the Tanaim agree you have to have an elaborate Suda on Purim, the covered Kabbalah Satorah. So on Purim also you have to have an elaborate Suda. It's also considered Yom Shenitlan B'Torah. But on Chanukah and all the other Yom Tovim and Megillah Steinis, there is no Chiyav Suda. So you don't have this element of Simcha B'Kumbi Yaseh. You don't have an obligation to have Basar V'Yayin or even to have a Suda. You just have Simcha B'Shevi Al Taseh. Just like on Rosh Chodesh, there's no Chiyav, strictly speaking, there's no Chiyav Medina to have a Suda. There's a Midas Chasidus to have a Suda for Rosh Chodesh. But you're not Mechuyav Me'ikar Adin to have a Suda. But nonetheless, there's an Issa Hesped V'Tainis. On all of the Yom Tovim and Megillah Steinis, there's an Issa Hesped V'Tainis. That's considered the way to celebrate a Yontif, the Simcha of Yontif, Simcha B'Shevi Al Taseh. We don't permit Hesped V'Tainis, and you don't say Tachna. So this is all the Yamim Tovim on Megillah Steinis. This is what they all have in common, Issa Hesped V'Tainis. On Chanukah, the Gemara says, the Gemara in Perek Mamim Avikin quotes this passage from the Megillah Steinis. On Chanukah, that year after the Nes of the Chashmonaim, they established Chanukah as a Yontov B'Halal B'Hoidoya. To recite Halal, all the Yom Tovim give us Tainus, you just have an Issa Hesped of the Tainus, that's all. And Chanukah, they established it as a Yontov B'Halal, to recite Halal Sholem, U'B'Hoidoya, Hoidoya means that you say Alanisim and Nishmona Esrei. In the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch explain, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the earlier commentaries, that we don't say Al Anisim. That's a mistake. We say Vi Al Anisim. It's a Vav. In Moedim Anach Tolach, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this, for that, for the other thing. How do we say Moedim Anach Tolach, Nodim Lecho Sapati Lasech Al Chayena Hamsurim Biyadecho. We thank Him for giving us life. Al Nishmasein HaPkudas Loch, for restoring our souls. Al Nisech Shebuchol Yamimano. Then you say, it's a hemshach with thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for A, B, C, and D. So you say E as well. That's how the Rambam has it. That you don't say till the end of Noidim Kilucha, Hatab Kilucha, Rachamach, Racham Kilasamach, Hasadecha, Yodam Kivinaloch. Then you say, V'Alanisim. It's already too late. The Rambam has V'Alanisim. Comes right into Alanisach, Alanifalasech, Vitavasech. You said, we thank you for this and that. Al Chayenu, Val Nishmasenu, Val Nisecha, Val Niflosecha, Val Anisim Al Apurkan. We say, V'al Anis. The Gemara has a suffix, this takona that the Chachamim instituted, that we should mention V'al Anisim in the Shmona Esri, did they institute this takona also for Brichas Amazon or not? Maybe it only makes sense to mention Ritzei on Shabbos and Yalav Yavai on Yontif and the Brichas Hamazon, because it's a din deraisa. Rosh Chodesh is a Yontif deraisa. So the Gemara learns after the pasuk in Tehillim and Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So the Gemara says, what does the pasuk mean? We should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should bless God every day. By Yom LeBaruch Hanasa, by Laila Eim LeBaruch Hamasa. We only bless God in the daytime. We don't recite any brachas at night. That's not right. So what does it mean, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom? The Gemara says, now, b'chol yom v'yom, tein l'mein b'chois tov shol yom. Every day, if the day is a special day, Shabbos, Yontif, Chol HaMoed, Rosh Chodesh, you should mention in the davening, mentioning the Birchas Hamazon, the fact that it's a special day. We should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that there's something unique about the day. So the Gemara says, that makes sense on a Yontav Deraisa. The day is taka different. On a Yontav Derabbanan, it's only make-believe Midirabbanan. On the level of Deraisa, the day is no different from any other day. So the Gemara says, he really wouldn't be obligated, based on the pasuk Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, V'chol Yom V'yom Tein L'meim V'chol V'shal Yom, you have to express your gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you a day with special, unique characteristics that only makes sense to a Yontav Deraisa. Yontav Derabbanan is a make-believe inyan, so that's not covered with the din, that's not governed with the rule of B'chol Yom V'yom Tein L'meim V'chol V'shal Yom. But they had to make a special takana. They instituted a Yontav of Chanukah B'halal V'hoidoy, that we should say V'al HaNis. The Gemara says maybe this takana, new takana to say Hoidoya, is only instituted in Tefillah, because you have to daven three times every day, three, four times. On Shabbos you daven four times a day, you say Musaf also. Because Hamazon, a lot of people don't eat bread a whole week long. So maybe they never instituted the requirement to say Hoidoya, Halal V'Hoidoya. Maybe you don't have to say V'al HaNisim and B'chas HaMazon and Noi D'Lecha. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that is correct. The Takonis Al HaNisim, V'al HaNisim is only introduced for the Shmoneh Esrei. Even for Musaf of Shabbos, you have to say V'al HaNisim. But there's no Takonis, there's no obligation to recite Al HaNisim and the B'chas HaMazon. And Lemaisa, it's only a minig. It's optional. It's a minig that we have developed that we cite the Al HaNisim and the Birchas HaMazon as well. That's why the Magen Avraham has an entertaining shaila. He discusses what if a person benches on Shabbos Chanukah and he says the whole Be'al HaNisim and then he forgot to say Ritzei. So the din requires that he has to repeat the Birchas HaMazon because he left that Ritzei V'Hachlit Tzeinu. So the question is, but he already, when he said the Birchas HaMazon the first time, he said Al HaNisim. The whole requirement to say Al HaNisim is not Medina, it's only a minig. So maybe when he repeats the Birchas HaMazon a second time, maybe he doesn't have to say Al HaNisim the second time, because he already said it the first time. So that's what the Magen Avraham concludes. He says, the whole reciting of Al HaNisim is invention. Birchas HaMazon is only a minhag, and there's no minig on such a minig to say Al HaNisim the second time you bench after one meal. How often does it happen? You have to bench a second time, you have to bench twice. After eating Shabbos Chanukah, and he said Al HaNisim the first time. So the Magen Avraham thinks that in such a case, where he said Al HaNisim the first time, and if he got Ritzei, so he's required to repeat the benching because of the lack of Ritzei, there's no need to repeat the Al HaNisim. The Nitziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas, points out that this Magen Avraham is based on a passage in the Rambam. Magen Avraham doesn't refer to it, but it's based on an idea that appears in the Rambam in Hilcha Shechita. The Rambam lists off all of the treifas that make an animal osa b'achila. So the Rambam lists off which are considered treifas ben HaTorah, which diseases in an animal make a treifas ben Derabbanan, and which are only treifa mitam minig. So then the Rambam describes certain diseases. So he says if the animal has a certain condition, it doesn't make sense to say that there's a minig not to eat such a treifa. You can't have a minig is not binding in a thing that's only going to come up once every 10 years. A minig is only binding if it's a dover harogyo. There's no minig binding in a dover shena matzui. If it's a far-fetched thing, there's no minig. So that's what the Magen Avraham assumes, that the reciting of Al HaNisim and the Birchas HaMazon, the Gemara came to the conclusion, it's only a minig, you're not mechuyev even mit the Rabbanan, they never made a takana. And to say Birchas HaMazon the second time after the same meal, he already said Al HaNisim the first time, that's a dover shena matzui. So a minig is not binding on the dover shena matzui. Many Achrayim disagree, and they say that it's not true. That even the second time around, you should also say Al HaNisim, and they claim that we don't follow that Rambam. We don't hold like that Rambam. That a minig is binding, the dover shena matzui. When the Braisa in Megillas Tainis tells the whole historical background of Chanukah, came and so on. So the Braisa tells the whole historical background, and then it says the Chacham Lushan Acheres, a year after the Nes Chanukah occurred, from Chachamim Vasom Yamim Tov Mahalal Vahedoy, made a takana that you have to recite Halal on Chanukah, Halal Shalom, you have to recite V'al HaNisim. It doesn't say a word about Hadlokas Hamanoi. The Gemara talks a lot about Hadlokas Hamanoi. The Gemara quotes Braises. There are quotes a debate between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, whether you light 8 candles the first night and the second night you light 7 candles, go down, Poiches v'herlach, or it's Moise v'herlach. You follow the Beis Hillel. The first night you light one candle, second night you light two candles, and so on. So the Braisa clearly, Tanoim talk about Hadlokas HaMenorah. Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai had a machlokas, had to observe the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim, but it's Poiches v'herlach and Moise v'herlach. But it never says in the Megillah Steinis, this institution. So this is what led some to believe that the initial takana of halal was only behalav, the initial takana of Chanukah was only behalav v'hidoya, and the takana to light the nearest Chanukah was introduced after the Churban Bayis Sheni. And the Rambam does not seem like that at all. The Rambam writes l'shana acheres kvam yom mitovim behalav v'hidoya behadlokas aneres. So from the Rambam it sounds like the same Bezdin who made the takana that you should have halal, you should recite halal, and you should have alanisim. They're the same ones that made the whole takana on Hadlokas HaMenorah as well. This is my Bayis Sheni. But some Achrayim suggest they have the impression that the Hadlokas HaMenorah Chanukah is not so much to remember that, it's also to remember the Nes of Chanukah, but it's a Zechel Menorah Shev Beis HaMikdosh. The main thing is Zechel Menorah Shev Beis HaMikdosh. So this is a historical question. When was the Hadlokas HaMenorah instituted? There's a colorful fellow in Flatbush who has a museum, a very fascinating museum that's worth millions of dollars. He has coins from the days of the Bayis Sheni, and he has menorahs that are dated from the times of the Bayis Sheni. He says that this is outright a historical mistake. He says he has menorahs, which they know were used, menorahs with eight containers, which were used as Man Bayis Sheni. So he says this is not correct. To assume that the institution of Hadlokas HaMenorah began after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Some Rishonim say that the Hadlokas HaMenorah is not only Zechel and Nes, it's Zechel and Menorah, Shebe Beis HaMikdosh. What do you need a Zechel is Man Bayis, what do you need a Zechel to the Menorah? They're lighting the Menorah in the Bayis Sheni. It's a good question. Where exactly is one supposed to light the Menorah? So the Gemara says, it's Ner Isha Beisa. So in Shulchan Aruch they assume, Ner Isha Beisa means one candle for the whole family. The word Beisa, in the context of that sentence, doesn't mean your home, it means your family. If a person, a husband and a wife, and they have nine children, so they don't have to light more than one candle. Mi'ikar adin, yeyotzi with one candle. But the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch assume there has an additional connotation that the place to fulfill a mitzvah, Hadlokas HaMenorah, is the beiso. If a person is going to go light the menorah in Times Square, is going to light in school, in class, that's not the correct makom Hadlokas HaMenorah, and no one is yotze. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that we have a minhag that started in the days of the early Rishonim that we light the menorah in shul in between mincha and ma'ariv, despite the fact that no one is yotze with the Hadlokas HaMenorah in shul because it's not the beisa. Hadlokas HaMenorah has to be the beisa. So here there's a little bit of a problem. The whole purpose of Hadlokas HaMenorah, the Gemara says, is in order to accomplish Pisumi Nisan. So if you light in Times Square, you get more Pisumi Nisan, but that's not the Beisa. So if you light Mamish inside your house, so that's fine, that's wonderful, that's the Beisa, but you have zero Pisumi Nisan. Only whoever happens to be inside the house. So we would prefer to light as far as possible away from the house to accomplish the maximum Pisumi Nisan, but it has to be close enough to the house that it should be Mitzurif. To the house, it should be Hadlaka Bebeisam. So that's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Where is the furthest that you can light the menorah? The Rashi reads the Gemara Al Pesach Beisam Libachutz. You can light the menorah either in your house or Al Pesach Habayis outside, by the doorway in front of the house, when you enter into the house. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and says you don't necessarily have to light Al Pesach Habayis. If you light Al Pesach HaChotzer, that would also be good. So if you light a Pesach HaChotzer that's further away from the Bayis, you'll accomplish more Pesach Nisa, and it's still mitzarif to the house. So that's the opinion that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that it's preferable to light a Pesach HaChotzer to accomplish more Pesach Nisa. That's based on the opinion of the Balei HaTosfos. The Mishnah Brura writes that Rashi disagrees. Rashi and Sanhedrin Shem disagree that if you light a Pesach HaChotzer, you would not be Yaitzah. But that's the accepted opinion in Shulchan Aruch. Where exactly is Beiso? So the Gemara in Erevin has a discussion. Each person only has one bayis. So what if I have two apartments? There's one apartment where I always eat, in one apartment where you always sleep. Let's say the children have, I know some people live in Teaneck, they have like that, they have two homes. So the parents live in the new home, and the children live in the old home, but they always eat all the meals in the parents' home, in the new home. So which one is considered based on? The location where you sleep, or the location where you eat? So the Gemara has a discussion of this in Maseches Erevin. The Gemara there is not discussing which of the two is Beisa with respect to Hadlaka Samanar. The Gemara is discussing which is Beisa for the purpose of Tchum Shabbos. Each person has his own Tchum Shabbos from wherever he is. So if my home is in the middle of a big city, so the whole city has the status Kedal Ramaz Dami, and then all of the people in the city have the same Tchum Shabbos. But let's say the city does not have the dimensions of an ear. There are rules and regulations what constitutes an ear. Let's say if it doesn't have the status of an ear. A person lives in the country. He lives on a farm. So he only has Alpai Mama around his basal. So which is considered basal? He has two different apartments. One apartment where he sleeps, one apartment where he eats. Which one is considered basal? Or the Gemara discusses the students in the yeshiva, they didn't have a chadar ochel in the days of the Gemara. The first one who made a Chadar Ochel in the yeshiva was the Lublina yeshiva, Rabbi Meir Shapira, in the early 1900s. He made a dormitory and he made a Chadar Ochel, everything together. Days of Gemara, they didn't have that. In Europe, in the yeshivas, in the early other yeshivas, they didn't have that. The boys had to rent rooms by Balabatim, and then they had to eat somewhere, so sometimes they would eat in one place and they would sleep in a different place. So the Gemara in Erevin discusses that, which of the two locations is based on. So the Gemara seems to say, if one is Kavua and one is Aroi, let's say, I live in my home all year long. I have my apartment where I live. And my parents and my in-laws invite me to eat one night at Chanukah at their home. Then I'm going to come back and go to sleep in my own home. So I'm only eating temporarily by my friend, or by my relatives, by my in-laws. My permanent residence tonight also I'm going to sleep in my own home. My permanent residence is a different one. So if you have two different locations, one is Kavua and one is Aroi, so the one that's Kavua is considered Beisa. What if you have a setup where there are two permanent locations, both Kavua, one is much more comfortable than the other? The Gemara has, when the Bochum used to be eating by Balabatim, this was true in Europe also, when the Bochum used to eat by families, so the families didn't treat them so nicely. The families treated their own children very nicely, and the Bochum, who were guests in the home, were treated like stepchildren. They weren't treated nicely. So the boys didn't enjoy eating by the Balabatim. They enjoyed better sleeping in their apartments than they enjoyed eating by the Balabatim. So if you have two locations, one where you sleep and one where you eat, and one is more pleasant than the other, so the one that's more pleasant is considered Beisa. The Magen Avraham says, what if one is more private than the other? Let's say you have a cafeteria where at any given time you have 100 people eating. Then you have a dorm room and you only have two or three people sleeping in any one given dorm room. So because one of the two, one is a makam achila, one is a makam shina, so one of them is much more public than the other, so the one that's more private is considered beisa. What if everything is equal? Everything is equally private, or everything is equally kavua or aroi, and everything is equally comfortable, everything is equally comfortable or uncomfortable. So then the Gemara says the rule is that the Mokum Achila beats out the Mokum Shina. The location where you eat your meals is considered more so, is considered beso, as opposed to the location where you sleep. So all of these rules are developed in Maseches Erevin with respect to determining there are two different locations. I sleep in one apartment all the time, I eat in the other apartment, which is called beso with respect to measuring Tchum Shabbos. Which one is considered beso with respect to the din of the takona deiruvi chatzeris, that if you have many people rent apartments in an apartment building, say not allowed to carry in the hallways unless they make an erev chatzeris. So that's only if someone has beso over there. But if he eats in one place and he sleeps in another place, he only has to participate in the eruvi chatzeris in the hallways of the building where he eats. He doesn't have to participate in the hallways of the building where he sleeps, because the Mokum Achila beats out the Mokum Shina. The Ramo quotes this in Hilchas Chanukah. He quotes from a Tshuva HaRashba, just a one-line Tshuva. So the Ramo doesn't elaborate upon Well, just quotes the Tshuvas HaRashba, that if you have one place Makam Achila, one place Makam Shina, so the Makam Achila wins. So many people misunderstand the Ramah. They think that the Ramah means it's preferable to light the menorah in the kitchen as opposed to the bedroom. He's not talking about the kitchen or the bedroom. He's talking about two different apartments. That one apartment where I always eat and one apartment where I always sleep, that's what the Gemara is talking about in Erevin, on the Afpei Beis. So then the Rashba is quoted, that's what it says in the Gemara, that the Makam Achila is the Beisa, and the Makam Shina is not Beisa. What exactly are the three levels of Hadlokas HaMenoira? So the Gemara says, Me'ikir Adin, Neri Shad Beisa is sufficient. If the Baba Bayis, if someone lights one candle every night of Chanukah, each night of Chanukah you light one candle, so then you might say, all the members of the family are in fulfillment of the Takanas Chachamim of Hadlokas HaMenorah. The Gemara says, Mahadrin, they instituted Mahadrin when they made this Takanas, and the Mahadrin were light, Ne'er L'chol Echad V'Yechad. What exactly does that mean? So this is a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Ramah. For many generations, they didn't realize that the Rambam and the Ramah are not saying the same thing. So there's a Sefer Galya Masechta. He lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s, and the Beis HaLevi lived in the late 1800s. So these are the first two who pointed this out, that there's a fundamental machlokes, say, between the Rambam and the Ramah. How do you understand the Elucha Lecha V'Echa? So the Rambam understands, let's say you have a husband and a wife and they have 9 children, so the husband should light 11 candles each night of Chanukah. 11 candles the first night, 11 candles the second night, 11 candles the third night. Instead of lighting one candle each night of the 8 nights of Chanukah, you light Ne'er L'chol Echad V'Echad. But again, only one person lights all the 11 candles each night of Chanukah. The Ramah does not record that practice. The Ramah says Ne'er L'chol Echad V'Echad means that we treat Ne'er Chanukah as if it's a Chovis HaYochid. That it's not sufficient that one member of the family lights one menorah, one lights one candle for everybody. Each member of the household should light his own menorah. Ne'er L'chol Echad V'Echad, each person should light his own menorah and recite his own bracha. So that's the question. How can you recite your own bracha? If Mi'ikar Adin, you were Yotzei, according to the Rambam, that the Baal HaBayis lights 11 candles each of the 8 nights of Chanukah, so there's no problem. He says the bracha is lighting the menorah for all the members of the household. But according to the practice that the Ramah records, that each member of the household lights his own menorah, he says his own bracha, isn't that a bracha of Atola? Whoever lit first is mitzi all the bnei abayis, and whoever's going to light after him is saying a bracha on a mahadrin. Since when you say bracha on a mahadrin? You were ready yotzei the mitzvah. Whoever lit first was mitzi all the bnei abayis. See, it is a fundamental dispute how to understand what's going on over here. So the official answer that the Magen Avraham gives, quoting the Maharil, is that if at the time the first person lights the menorah, whoever that's going to be, the oldest child, the youngest child, the father, the mother, whoever's going to light the menorah first, if when the first menorah is lit, all the other members of the family plan to light their own menorah, so that's considered as if they all had kavanah shelo lotzeis. It's considered as if they all had a mind not to be yotzei with that initial hadlaka. So if a person has in mind not to be yotzei, someone is blowing shofar, and someone has in mind not to be yotzei, yeah, kavanah shelo lotzeis, so you're not yotzei. So of course you have to light your own menorah over here. What happens if at the beginning of the night, when the first person in our household lit, I didn't plan to light my own menorah, I thought I'll be yotzei with his menorah. Then later on I changed my mind, I decided I want to light my own menorah. So then the Maril will say, you cannot say a bracha on that. You were already yotzei the basic mitzvah, and you don't say a bracha on a heder. If one was already yotzei the mitzvah, you don't recite a bracha on a heder. And others do not understand the Gemara like this. If you look in the Sefer, Rav Dov Ben Soloveitchik has on the Rambam, Chidush HaGriz on the Rambam, so he clearly does not understand that it's based on the idea of Kavanah Shelo Lotzeis. He says, this was the Takanas Chachamim, that Ne'er L'chol Echad V'Echad. Mi'ikar Adin, Yotzei the Takana, the basic Takana, if all the Bnei Abayis have one menorah lit for them. And then there's an additional Takana, if each member of this household wants the light is on, even though he was Yotzei, the Ikar Takana. If he wants to do another Hadlokah, to light another menorah, so that will constitute a Kiyum HaMitzvah. and it'll be ne'elach ol echad liyachad. And the common practice is that we do what the Gemara calls mahadrin min ha-mahadrin. That there were the two opinions, the Beishame and the Beisilom, where the Beishame are of the opinion that the first night of Chanukah you light 8 candles and every night you diminish less and less. Because the first night of Chanukah, the Ner, the Shemen in the Beis HaMikdash had the potential to burn for 8 nights. Then the second night it only had potential to burn for 7 nights. Still the last night it only had potential to burn for 1 night, and then it burned that last day. And we follow Beis Hillel, that each night of Chanukah, you moisten the Horach. The Gemara says that in connection with Hadlokas HaMenorah, we recite 3 brachas. Even though Hadlokas HaMenorah is not a mitzvah min HaTorah, it's only midirabbanan, nonetheless you say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvah Yisav b'tzivanu, because we are obligated to observe mitzvahs midirabbanan as well. In addition to reciting the bracha Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvah Yisav b'tzivanu over the Hadlokas HaMenorah, we recite an additional 2 brachas, Sh'asa Nisim Lavaseinu and Shehechayonu. So this is a big question, when are these 2 additional brachas recited? So the Maharil is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch as saying that all the 3 brachas should be recited before one lights the menorah. Let's say when one is about to perform Pidyon HaBen, so the father of the baby says the bracha, Sheikh Shem Hassanu al Pidyon HaBen, and then he says Shehechayonu, the Gemara says, and our practice is that he says the Shehechayonu before he gives the money to the father. So here also on Chanukah, and this is our practice, we follow the Maharil, quoted by the Ramon Shulchan Aruch. All 3 brachas are recited over Lasiyasim before you begin to light the menorah. In the Maseches Sofrim, where the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah is discussed, Maseches Sofrim is not really from the Mishnayos. Maseches Sofrim was written by the Gaonim. It's a collection of brises that appear in the Gemara, and additional brises that we don't know what the source is. So the Maseches Sofrim, composed by the Gaonim, writes again, not like the Maharil. So some says the bracha lahadlik ner shel Chanukah should be recited over lasiyasim before one lights the menorah, but the other 2 brachas, shasa nisim and shachyana, should be recited after the hadlaka is completed. And this is understood by the Rishonim as follows. The Gemara says that they made a special takana. Let's say a person doesn't have a home. A person is a bum and he sleeps in the park. A person is on a ship traveling somewhere. And a person is traveling by airplane on Chanukah, and he's not going to be home Leil Chanukah. So it's not sure that he should do Hadlokas HaMenorah. You're not yet if you light in the airport. You have to be Madlik B'Beiso. So he doesn't have the opportunity to be Madlik Menorah. So the Gemara says, for one who's not Madlik the Menorah, they instituted a Brichas Haroya. Haroya Ner Chanukah, if I see someone else's Menorah lit, someone else lit a Menorah, so they made a takana. If it's the first night of Chanukah, Haroya Ner Chanukah Mevarach 2 brachas. You say Shas Nisim, Shachyan. You can't say Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah, you're not lighting it. Someone else lit it. And if it's the other nights of Chanukah, so you only say Shas Nisim, and you don't say Shehechayonu. So the question is, if you are Madlik, and you recite all the 3 brachas, so whereas the Maharil is of the opinion that all the 3 brachas are treated as a Bichas HaMitzvah, and all 3 should be recited, so the Maseches Sofrim, which preceded the Maharil quite a few centuries, Maseches Sofrim assumes otherwise. Maseches Sofrim assumes that even the one who does the Hadlokas HaMenorah recites the Bracha Shasa Nisim and Shachyanu as a Bichas Haroya. So first you have to see the candle lit. And then when you see your candle lit, then you recite a Bichas Haroya like anybody else would see your candles and recite a Bichas Haroya. The Gemara points out that despite the fact that the Ner Chanukah should have been considered a mitzvah sase shahazman gromo, and Nashim should have been exempt from this mitzvah, this is one of the several exceptions to the rule that women are mechuyev in hadlokas Ner Chanukah, because afin hoy b'yosa nes, the Nes Chanukah was relevant for everyone, and even the women are also just as obligated as the men. So the Gemara says, therefore, since the chiyuv of the women is on the same level as the chiyuv of the men, so if, let's say, the husband is in the office late and the wife is home, so the wife can light the menorah at 5:30. So the Gemara says the husband can be yotzei. One of the Amoraim says, when I was single, so you always had to go home early. 5:30 on Hanukkah to light the Hanukkah candles. Now that I'm married, so my wife lights the Hanukkah candles 5:30, and I go home at 11:30. I learn at night in the Beis Medrash, and he has a snack there, and he relies on his wife's hadlokah. So the Gemara says the women can light the menorah to be mitzi the men. On Purim, this is the question. The Gemara says women are obligated to hear the Megillah on Purim because often on Purim there's a dispute in Tosfos. Is it the same as Chanukah that the women are on the same level as obligation as the men, so a woman can read the Megillah to be mitzi the men? Or no, Tosfos quotes the opinion of the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, which is from the period of the Gaonim, that the Chanukah is different from Purim. Chanukah, the women have the same level of obligation as the men, so a woman can light the menorah to be mitzi a man. Whereas on Purim, the obligation of the men to read the Megillah is a higher level of obligation, and a woman cannot read the Megillah to be mitzi the men. Most of the Rishonim do not agree with this halachas gedolos, but we have respect for the Bahag, because Tosfos always has expression, the halachas gedolos was written in the days of the Gaonim, and they had traditions that we're not aware of. So we often respect the minority opinion, not to violate us, out of respect for the view of the halachas gedolos. That's why the common practice used to be, we live in a generation where people are disrespectful to living people. People are disrespectful to living rabbis. So why should they show respect for the halachas gedolos who died 1,000 years ago, close to 1,000 years ago? But for many generations, the practice was that the women could light the menorah to be mitzi the men, that says Beferish in the Gemara, but the practice always was out of respect for the halachas gedolos, the women do not read the Megillah to be mitzi the men. When is the zman of hadlokas ha-menorah? So the Gemara says Misha Techshach. When is Misha Techshach? So that's a big dispute. So in the Shulchan Aruch it says you should light after Tzeis HaKochavim, except for Friday night you can't light that after Tzeis HaKochavim. So you have to be careful to light before Ben Hashmashes, but after Plaga Mincha. And others are of the opinion, and the Vilna Gaon thinks that this is more correct, that Misha Techshach means right after Shkia. You should light the menorah right after Shkia. Even if Mishnah Brewer points out, even if one follows the Vilna Gaon's opinion, that the more correct time to light the menorah is right after Shkia, but you have to put in enough oil that the menorah should burn for half an hour after Tzeis HaKochavim. So if you're lighting at Shkia, it's going to take half an hour till Tzeis HaKochavim, that has to burn for another half hour after that. There was a minority opinion that Bizman HaZeh, that the Hadlok is really for the Bnei HaBayis, the Ikra Hadlok is for the Bnei HaBayis. So the Bnei HaBayis saw the menorah. So what do you have to have oil that should last for half an hour? They saw the menorah. What do you need a half an hour? Bizman HaGemara, that the Ikra Hadlok was to accomplish Pesumei Nisa for the Bnei Rishu Saram, for the people walking in the street. So then it was necessary to have the menorah burn for half an hour because there are different people walking by in the course of the half hour. But Bizman HaZeh, that you have the same people. You light the hadlokas mid-bifnim, nikra hadlokas for the Bnei HaBayis. So there was such a minority opinion that the half hour is not so significant today. So the Stechemed lived in the early 1900s. He was born in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Sfardi. And then he took a Rabbanus in Russia. And he didn't know what was going on over there. There were different minhagim and different shitas they were following. So he corresponded with all the prominent rabbanim in Europe to ascertain whether the minhagim in his community were a minik toyos or they were had validity. So, and that's what started him to write this whole encyclopedia. Stechan is a whole big encyclopedia, 9 volumes long. So he writes about this, that in his community, they used the women's auxiliary of the shul used to sell tiny little candles for Hanukkah that did not last a half an hour. And they were following that opinion that it's not necessary this man is then. He encouraged them to change their practice. They should make bigger candles that should last for half an hour, and they should raise more money for the shul. So they charged twice as much. They made bigger candles that charged twice as much, and everybody was happy. The shul made more money, and the menorahs lived longer. I think the next year is also going to be in Hilchas Chanukah. Rabbi Simon is going to give another Shem Hilchas Chanukah. Okay, I'm sure he'll have what to add. Very good.